good to have a Bible and be able to come and to pray. And I just thank the Lord for that. And I was praying today, praying for the services. God would meet with us and help us, you know. And it doesn't have to be jumping pews and running aisles for God to meet with us. Amen. If we get fed and stirred and God moves in our hearts and does something, regardless of what it looks like on the outside, that's what matters, is what's done on the inside. Amen. And I'm glad we can come and we can pray and be together. Amen. And so that's what we're going to be actually talking about tonight. If you look in Ephesians 6, just going to look at one verse here tonight in Ephesians chapter 6. And going to look at verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. We'll back up to verse number 17. He says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I wanted to back up and read verse 17 because that's actually where the sentence started. The period is at the end of verse 16, and so the new sentence starts in verse 17, and then goes through verse 18, and then actually goes all the way down to verse number 20. But I wanted to start in verse 17 and then get my text verse out of verse 18 to get the whole thought. Because what we find here is that prayer and supplication is connected to the armor of God. And prayer is so very important. The armor certainly is important. The shield is important. The sword is important. We can't win battles spiritually without all those things. But what we find here in this passage is that the armor is the equipment of the spiritual life, but prayer is the energy of the spiritual life. The armor is the equipment of victory. Prayer is the energy behind victory. We can have all things right, but miss out and not pray like we're supposed to, and then we'll not have victory. Amen. Prayer is very important in living the victorious Christian life. And we can't fight battles in our own power. You can have the sword of the Spirit, and you can have the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, all those things. And no matter how strong or talented we think we are, we'll still never be able to win the battle spiritually without the energy of the Spirit of God. And we gain that energy, we gain that fervency, we gain that touch and that anointing through prayer. That's where it comes from. And so I thank God for the opportunity to be able to pray, and I thank God for the things that He provides for us when we pray. And so I want to look tonight and what I believe the Apostle Paul is dealing with through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What I think God is telling us in this passage is He's shining light on how to have victory in the Christian life. He's really talking about Canaan living. That's what this all is about. This is all about living in Canaan land. Amen. We've got to put the armor on and fight the battles if we'll ever live in Canaan. And the fact of the matter is that the majority of saved people never make it to Canaan. The majority never make it to the victorious Christian life, but He's outlining and showing us how we can make it there, how we can walk in victory. Amen? And so He's talking about victorious Christian living, Canaan land living, telling us how to do it, and He outlines every piece of armor that we need. He outlines all the equipment that we need, but then He reveals to us the energy in which we need, because we'll never do it in our own energy, no matter how strong or how talented we think we are, no matter how good of a preacher I may think I am, and I don't think I'm a good preacher, by the way, but no matter how good of a singer some singer thinks that they are, no matter how gifted someone is, how much scripture they can memorize, how good or how gifted or talented someone may be, we will never fight and win the battles in the spiritual life in our own power. We've got to have the Spirit of God. We've got to do it in His energy. Exodus chapter 17, you'll find that Amalek attacked Israel. And whenever Amalek attacked Israel, what did Moses do? He went up onto the mountaintop to pray. Amen. Well, while Moses was up on the mountaintop praying, what did Joshua do? Joshua went down to the valley with a sword. Amen. And so we've got one man of God up on the mountaintop praying. We've got one man of God down in the valley fighting. But it took both of them to win the battle. Amen. The man of God had to be up with his hands up, praying, calling on God. But then there had to be one down fighting the battles with the sword. Amen. That's why I think it's good for folks to be praying when a man is preaching. Amen. Hey, if there's one thing I would desire for somebody to do when I'm preaching, it's to be praying. Amen. I've been in some good meetings here and there where a man will get up to pray and you'll see some other man get up and slip off somewhere, and you just know he's not going to the bathroom and he's not going to check his tie and he's not going to brush his teeth or get a breath mint. He's slipping off somewhere to pray. Amen. And I tell you, I've been in some meetings where the Spirit of God fell and God moved and people got saved. Because while the man was preaching, while he was in the valley using the sword, the other man was up on a mountain or stolen away somewhere with God praying as he was fighting the battle. Amen? And it takes both. You can't do one without the other and win. Amen? And so it took both of them to defeat Amalek. Prayer is the power for victory. It tells how to pray to win the battle right here in this text, in this one verse. In this one verse, he goes on to talk about, you know, in verse 19 and down, asking them to pray for him and things like that. But in just this one verse, really I see several different things here. We're only going to deal with about three of them. This will probably be kind of like a two-part message. We'll probably only get to three of these things. But I see several things, several ways, instructions that he gives us of how to pray that we might pray victoriously. Because I think that's what we look at. When we see this passage, we're seeing the armor, we're seeing the battle, we're seeing the conflict of the Christian life. But one thing we know is that we serve a God of victory. And God never saved us to drag through this life in defeat. No, He saved us to have victory. And so when we read here, what we see is how to have victorious praying, how to pray in victory. How to pray in victory. And I want to give you about three things. Again, I see about six, but I'm going to give you maybe three of them tonight in this verse on victorious praying. Victorious praying. I remember hearing Billy Kelly preach years ago talking about how there's a time to fight. And he'd say, you know, folks always wanting to, you know, you hear folks, they always want to pray about everything. He said, well, there's a time to pray, but there's a time to fight too. And there is a time to fight, but there's also a time to pray. Amen? There's a time to do both. And if we're going to win the fight, we're going to have victory in the fight, we'll have to have victory in our prayer lives. First of all, what we see in this one verse here, the first thing he says is praying always. Praying always. So the first thing we see is that we're to pray always. That's just what he says. Pray always. That doesn't mean that we're always saying prayers. Whenever he says pray always, that doesn't mean pray constantly. Always praying isn't the same as constant praying. And that's not what he means, because it would be impossible for a man to pray constantly. It'd be impossible for any of us to pray constantly. We can't pray when we're sleeping. We can't pray when we're having a conversation with somebody else. We can't always pray when we're working. We're out working and trying to do a good job, be a good witness, a good testimony on the job. And you can't always, you got to be focused on what you're doing. You can't always pray while you're working. You can't. There's just things that we do where we can't pray. And so it would be impossible for any of us to pray constantly, but we can pray always. And there's a difference. Now, Matthew 6, verse 7, even Jesus said there, if you go back and read it, you'll find that Jesus talked about how those hypocrites or the Gentiles, the heathens, thought they were heard because of their much speaking, letting us know that we're not heard of our much speaking. You know, it's not always the long, eloquent prayers that God blesses. I mean, matter of fact, if you look to the Scriptures, the majority of the prayers prayed in the Scriptures were very short prayers. Actually, the seven sayings on the cross, out of those seven sayings, I believe it was four of them were prayers. It's either three or four. I can't remember now, but three or four. And they're very short prayers. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a prayer. He's talking to the Father. He's praying. And most of the prayers in the Bible were not long prayers. And so we're not heard because of our eloquent speech. We're not heard because of our long praying. That's not what it means whenever he talks about praying always, because we're not heard of our much speaking. I heard one man say this several times, that we certainly don't pray to inform God, because God already knows everything. He's God. And we certainly don't pray to impress God, because there's nothing we can do to impress God. He's not impressed by anything we do. He's God. What we do is we pray to invite God. God desires that we would invite Him into our life. You say, Brother Jerry, well, we don't have to invite God in our life. He's there whether we like it or not. Well, listen, He's given you a will. And we invite Him to take over our will and take over our life and take over our situation. That's why it's so important that we pray before we come to the house of God, and we pray at the beginning of the service, and we pray before we do anything, before we make a decision, before we go on a trip, before we go to work. Anything we do, we want to stop and pray, because it invites God to help us. It says, God, I don't want to do this on my own. I need You. Amen. And it's not always a long prayer that gets that done. We must pray always, because temptations attack always. Isn't that right? I mean, have you ever gone a day without any temptation? Have you ever gone a day? Have you ever woke up in the morning where there wasn't a temptation there waiting for you the second you woke up? I know I've said this before, I'll say it again, but one of the most convicting things I ever heard a preacher say was, whenever he said, the second you hit the snooze button on the alarm clock in the morning, you've already lost the first battle with your flesh of the day. A first battle's already lost the second you hit the snooze button. Boy, isn't that so convicting? But isn't it so true? We have to pray always, because temptations attack always. And that's what he tells us. He says to pray always. Not consistently, but always. What's that mean? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you know what he says. He said, pray without ceasing. Very similar statement to what we have here. Here he says, praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, pray without ceasing. And again, that doesn't mean to pray constantly. But I heard a man tell a story that he actually got from Charles Spurgeon here not long ago. And he said that Spurgeon was talking about this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, and how that's an impossible thing for a man to do. So there's no way God could be saying to pray constantly when He says without ceasing. He said, but he knew a man who was a beggar. And he said this man would go down to the same street corner every day, and he would beg for alms. That's how he survived, I reckon. That's how he did it. And Spurgeon said he observed this man for many years. And day after day, he would go down to the same street corner every day. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, he was always there. And some days he said he would only be there for a little while before his need was met, and he would be gone for the whole day. But the next morning, he would be there begging again. He said sometimes he would be there only for a little while before he was gone. Sometimes he would be there all day long before he was gone. But either way, he would always, every day, go to the same street corner, and he would beg until his need was met. And he said, after observing this man for over 20 years, every day at the same street corner begging, he said, I believe it would be safe to say that he begged without ceasing. And that is what God is telling us whenever He says to pray always. Whenever He says to pray without ceasing. He's telling us to be constant and consistent and persistent and always praying and always in a spirit of prayer and always seeking God. One man said, I believe it was Warren Wiersbe, talked about what God means in this, is always having the receiver off the hook, where we never have to bow before the presence of God and say, God, I'm entering into Your presence, because we never left His presence. The line is always open, and we're always communing with God. You say, Brother Jacob, how am I going to have victory in my life? How am I going to, what kind of praying is victorious praying? It's always praying. Always praying is victorious praying. The sad truth for a lot of us, I think if we just be honest, that we go way too long without praying most of the time. How many times does the sun come up and the sun go down on our day and we have yet to stop and pray? How many times do we go through things in our life and we never stop and we never pray? How many times do we make a decision where we never stop and acknowledge God and just simply pray? It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It doesn't have to be getting in a closet somewhere and begging and calling on God and all those things. It doesn't have to be that. That's not what always praying is. We should do that. We should have a place and we should have a closet and we should have somewhere that we go daily. But that's not necessarily the praying always he's talking about. The praying always is simply always acknowledging God and asking Him for help every step of the way in our life. Does the Bible not say, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path? How many ways is all thy ways? All means all, and that's all means. And in the Greek means that all means all, when the Hebrew all means all, isn't that right? In all thy ways. And so, pray always. But then, he says in the verse, he says, praying always with all prayer. So don't just pray always. How are you going to pray victoriously? Pray always, but not just praying always. He says, pray with all prayer. That's the second part to victorious praying, is praying with all prayer. You say, but what are you talking about? Well, what I believe he's like is that, and one thing we all know is that in the Bible there's many different kinds of praying. Just praying our prayers and asking God for what we want, what we need, isn't the only way to pray. That's just one facet of praying. There's multiple kinds of prayer in the Bible. The Bible mentions prayer. The Bible mentions supplication. The Bible mentions intercession. The Bible mentions thanksgiving. These are all different kinds of prayers and praying. And whenever he says praying with all prayer, I believe he's telling us to pray with all the kinds of prayer that there are. With all prayer. Now, it certainly goes beyond just saying our prayers. It certainly goes beyond just repeating a prayer list. But all prayer also reaches into all kinds of praying. Philippians 4:6, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Timothy 2:11, exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All these different kinds of praying. And you know, here's the thing. Whenever it comes to praying with all prayer, whenever we only ask for the things that we want, when we only are asking God for the things that we need and to meet our needs and give us the things that we want, do the things we wanted to do, you know what happens? What happens is we miss out on the blessings of the other kinds of praying. See, there are tremendous blessings in intercession, praying for other people. And there's tremendous blessings and tremendous power in thanksgiving and simply thanking God. Matter of fact, if we're talking about victorious praying, how to have victory in your life, thanksgiving is one of the most powerful prayer tools there is. You know, if we could ever get to the place that, where no matter what situation we're in, no matter how bad it looks and how dark it looks and how terrible things get, if we could ever get to the place where we just are able to simply say, God, I just want to thank you for being God, and I want to thank you in this storm, and I want to thank you for what all you've done in my life, and even where I am right now, Lord, I just thank you and I just praise you. Lord, you've been good. You've always been good to me because He has always been good to us. Amen. I think we could all say that if God never did anything anything else for any of us from this point on. He's already been far more to us and done far more for us than we ever deserve. Amen? And no matter how bad things get, I tell you, it sticks a big finger in the devil's eye when we can still say, God, I just thank you for being God, and I just thank you for where I am, and I thank you for what you're doing in my life, and I know it looks bad, and it's not easy, and it's difficult, and it's hard, and I don't enjoy what I'm going through, but I'm going to thank you anyways. I'm going to praise you anyways. I tell you, it just sticks the finger in the devil's eye when we do that. You know what it is? That is victory. That is victory. Because the devil wants to take the trials and the temptations and the hard times and the things that we don't understand and the things that other people do that we can't change and take our problems and our situations, and he wants those things to defeat us and get us down and get us discouraged and get us wanting to quit. But whenever we just go ahead and thank God anyways and get in our prayer closet somewhere and steal away and pray and just say, Lord, I just thank you for all these things, I tell you, it certainly does not do what the devil wants it to do. Amen? And whenever we only ask and pray and beg God for what we need, when we only ask God and beg God, God, get me through this storm. God, please get me out of this. Lord, please change my circumstances. Please change my situations. Please meet this need. Please do that. Not that there's anything wrong with asking God for things. But what I'm simply saying is when that's all that we do, what we wind up doing is we're selling ourselves short in all that God has provided for us in regards to victorious praying. Because here's the thing, man. It's hard to have victory whenever all you can think about is what you want God to do, and then He doesn't do it. I mean, even Jesus Himself, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed for what he wanted. He asked the Father for what he wanted. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He submitted to the Father's will. And we get such tunnel vision on just what we want and just when, and we miss out on the will of God and forget about the will of God and forget that what I'm going through may actually be God's will for my life. He's doing something in my life, and He's doing something in somebody else's life. He is using me in what He's doing in me. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And he wasn't talking about the pretty marks and the good looks. He was talking about the scars. He was talking about the injuries. He was talking about the problems and the hard times. He said, I bear those things in my body. I'm looking more like Jesus with all these things. And I tell you, whenever we can ever realize that what God is doing is His will, whether He removes that thing or not, and we can just thank Him anyways, that's victorious praying. God will give victory in that. What about an intercessory praying? One man said, prayer, the saying has always been prayer changes things, right? One man said, praise changes things as much as prayer changes things. Whenever we thank God, we give thanksgiving. Whenever we intercede for others in our praying, boy, it gives great victory. Intercession for others can bring victory in our own lives. See, Job 42, the very last chapter of the book of Job. In the same passage, I'm sure most of us are familiar enough to know that God gave Job way more in the latter end than what he started out with. And Job started out with a lot. He was tremendously blessed of God. But he went through all those things, and he had a victory in it all. And God gave him way more on the back end than he ever had on the front end. And in the same passage where it's talking about how God gave him so much more, chapter 42, verse 10, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. One of the things directly connected to all of God's blessings after all those things that happened in Job's life, one of the things directly connected to all of it was Job's intercessory prayer. His victorious prayer life. He wasn't just begging God, oh, God, help me. And sometimes we got to do that. But he was praying for other people too. He was praying for somebody else. Amen. By the way, he was thankful in his prayer life too. Throughout the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, is what he said. Amen. And so you say, well, what kind of praying is victorious praying? First of all, pray always. Second of all, pray with all prayer. All prayer. And then last of all, number three, pray in the Spirit. What kind of praying is going to give me victory? Well, it's not just repeating a prayer. It's not just running through a prayer list. It's not just saying our prayers. And it's not even just praying our prayers. But it's praying in the Spirit. Now, I say it's not even in just praying our prayers, because a lot of people get the idea that, praying your prayers, that's whenever you get all fervent and you get all, intense with your praying. But, some people have gotten really intense and really fervent in their praying and still prayed outside the will of God. And so they don't get those prayers answered. It doesn't necessarily matter to the fervency or the intensity. Now we should pray our prayers and we should be fervent. We should go beyond just repeating the prayer. But if we're not doing it in the Spirit, we'll not get the prayers answered. See, the Bible formula for praying is this. We pray to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. That's a capital S Spirit. Not our Spirit, but His Spirit. To the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. Romans 8:26. He says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You and I, we don't even know what we need. And sometimes I confess that to God, and I think it's right to confess it sometimes. I just pray, Lord, well, I don't even know how to pray in this situation. I mean, my finite mind, my worldly wisdom, my the wisdom of my flesh, that I look at and I work, I think I kind of see how it should work out, and I think it would be best. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do this, if this would be your will. But I just admit to you, Lord, I just confess, I don't know how to pray, and I don't know what to pray for in this situation. Because we don't know what to pray for. If we're left to our own devices, and if we were left to what we want, we would heap it all up on our own lust, just like what he talked about in the book of James. He said, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lusts. That's what he said. And that's right where we are. He said, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Amen. Only the Spirit's power can help us when we pray in the will of God. Only the Spirit's power, the power of the Spirit of God, can enable us to pray in the Spirit of God. Amen. Think about the Old Testament tabernacle. I know we just watched that video on that. Well, wasn't that interesting? Wasn't that a blessing? I enjoyed that. But you think about that Old Testament tabernacle, there was a small golden altar standing before the veil when they would go into that tabernacle. And there at that small golden altar, what they would do, the priests would burn incense to God. You can find that in Exodus 30. You can find that in Luke chapter 1. That incense there on that golden altar, in many ways, it is a picture of prayer. And that incense, being a picture of prayer, it had to be mixed according to God's plan. They could not just go in and mix up that incense and do whatever they wanted and burn whatever they wanted there. No, it had to be according to what God wanted and what God said and what God commanded. That's what the incense had to be, and that's what our prayer has to be. For that incense to be able to be burned and come up into the nostrils of God and be acceptable to God, it had to be what God wanted. It had to be mixed the way God wanted it to be mixed. And our prayers are no different. They have to be mixed the way God wants them to be mixed. They have to be what God wants them to be. They have to be acceptable unto Him. Because see, that incense there could not be counterfeited by man. Man couldn't just do what he wanted to do. And so you have this golden altar with the incense as a picture of prayer. And then on that same altar you had fire. That's what burned the incense. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Fire is a picture of the Holy Spirit because, see, it's the Holy Spirit who takes our prayers, takes the incense of our prayers, and ignites them in the will of God. Amen. See, as I said earlier, it's possible to pray fervently in the flesh and still never get through to God. I mean, those prophets of Baal were doing it on Mount, was it Mount Carmel? They were praying really fervently. They were praying more sincerely and more fervently probably than any of us have ever prayed. They were jumping up on that altar and they were cutting themselves, not just little cuts either. The Bible says the blood gushed out. I mean, it's possible some of them priests could have bled out up there. Because they were so intense and fervent and sincere in their praying. Listen, Muslims pray very sincerely. They pray very intently. I mean, they pray more than probably most Christians and most churches combined. Was it like three times a day? And they're all out down on those prayer cloths and they're like, you know, they're touching their head to the ground. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, they are very sincere in their praying. But they're not getting through to any God. Or that's another good a good example. Orthodox Jews. You see those pictures and videos of them down there at the Wailing Wall. And how they're rocking back and forth and they're reciting those prayers out of those prayer books. And they'll write those prayers on paper. They'll stick them in the cracks in that Wailing Wall, hoping that God will get, you know, will hear them and God will read them and all those things. I mean, they're so sincere in everything they do. And many religions are that way. But no God is hearing them. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad to think? Isn't that terrible to think about? But I'll tell you what's even more terrible is that we have the opportunity to pray and yet we don't do it most of the time. We have the ability and we have the open door and yet we don't do it most of the time. We may say a prayer. We may pray over our food and bless our food. We may pray over this or that, just mouth a little prayer here and there. We may even think a prayer, but when's the last time we really prayed in the Spirit? I mean, we got in the Spirit. And I tell you what it takes to get to pray in the Spirit. It takes, first of all, being thoroughly with God. It takes being right with God. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead us to pray or live contrary to this Bible. And so when we line up this Bible, we can pray in the Spirit. It's not something spooky and something weird and mysterious and strange. It's just simply being right with God and praying in the Lord's will. And I wonder when the last time that was, whenever we really sat back and prayed, Lord, I don't want what I want. I want what You want in this thing. And I want You to open my eyes and I want You to help me to see things the way You see them. And I want to pray for what You want in my life and in these things and in whatever it is I'm praying for. Lord, I want what You want. See, it's possible to pray fervently in the flesh and never get through to God. However, on the flip side of that same coin, it's also possible to pray quietly, but in the Spirit, and see God's hand do great things. I was trying to think of who it was. Was it Hannah, maybe, who prayed so long for a child, and the Lord promised her a child, and she, you know, she pondered those things in her heart, and she was praying, her lips were moving, but no sound was coming out. And the priest thought she was drunk, you know. That may not have been Hannah, but either way, maybe it was Hannah. Her lips moved, but no sound came out, and she was praying. So she was praying quietly, but buddy, God was moving, was He not? God did what seemed to be the impossible in her life. You want to know why? She prayed in the Spirit. She prayed in the Father's will. And so you say, Brother Jacob, how am I going to have victory in my life? How am I going to have victory living Canaan land spiritually? Well, it's going to come with having the right equipment and the right armor, but it's going to be coming doing it all in the right energy as well. And the right energy comes from victorious praying. And we pray victoriously when we pray always. And when we pray with all prayer. And when we pray in the Spirit. And so that's what I wonder tonight. How's our prayer life? You know, I'm not a great prayer. I don't have a great prayer life. I want to have a great prayer life. I know prayer works. I've seen prayer work in my life. I've seen prayer work in other people's lives. And I read after some men. I read after men like Pray and John Hyde and different men, you know. And I've heard Brother Gravely say this before, talk about reading after different men who are, you know, are known as tremendous prayers. And I've thought the same thing about these men. I've thought, there's no way I could ever pray like some of these men. There's no way I could ever pray like Sammy Allen. I don't think I could ever pray like John Hyde. I don't know how I could ever pray like some of these men who prayed, you know, so many hours a day and all those things. But at the end of the day, the Lord's never called us to pray like anybody else. The Lord's called us to pray the way He's called us to pray. And I know prayer works, and I know prayer gives victory. And again, I wouldn't consider myself having a great prayer life or being a great prayer warrior, but I want to be a great prayer warrior. Because I know that is the energy. That is the key. That is the energy in which we get anything done for the glory of God. Listen, I've not been a pastor or been in the ministry very long, but I've been in it long enough to see the things that I have tried to do fall flat on its face over and over and over again. And I'm sure you've seen the same thing too. Where we jump out and try to do something and we say we're doing it for God. And maybe our motive is right. Maybe we do really want to do something to be a blessing and do it for the glory of God. But at the end of the day, if God does not step in, if His energy is not in it, if He's not doing it, it'll fall flat every time. And we can't even live the victorious life without Him doing it through us. And so that's the question, how's our prayer life? Father, I come before Your throne of grace, and I thank You for helping us with the message tonight. I pray that You will take it and use it. And Lord, I pray that You would help us all, Lord, to be people of prayer. Lord, I pray that we would all have a place and a time in our life, Lord, that we would, Lord, we would walk with You. Lord, we would all have that place, Lord, where we would get alone and we would pray. And Lord, where we would seek You, Lord, daily. But Lord, I pray that You would help us to pray always as well. Lord, we not just have a place to pray and, Lord, a time to pray, but Lord, that we would be praying always. Lord, that we would pray without ceasing. We would always be in communion with You. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be a people that pray in all prayer. Lord, that we would even thank You, Lord, for the things in our lives that are not easy to be thankful for. And Lord, that we would intercede for one another and intercede for the lost and intercede. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to just take advantage of all prayer that there is. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to pray in the Spirit. God, that we would be in tune with You and in tune with Your will, and that we would, in the Spirit, pray, Thy will be done. Father, I pray that You would just make us a people of prayer. And Lord, You would do great things in and through us in these days. I ask now that You'd bless us as we close the service, bless us as we go our separate ways tonight, bring us back this coming Lord's Day. And Lord, I pray that You would prepare our hearts now for what You want to do in those services, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.